name is Jay Ism. We are live from the Linda Craft and Team Studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, part of the Research Triangle Park, and we are talking all things real estate. We're talking about real estate matters that matter to you. This week, the topic, yes, the topic this week is townhomes and condos. Ooh, does that scare you a little bit? It may, because some of you may be going, I don't know, do I want a condo? Do I want a townhome? I don't know if this townhome thing, this condo thing, do I even understand that really, right? So I have some of the top professionals here to help answer those questions that you've been asking. And by the way, we welcome your questions here as well to Real Estate Right Now. So if you have a question for our guests or just a question in general, just let us know and we will go ahead and do our best to answer them. So my first guest this afternoon is none other than Dwayne Reese. You've seen him here before. He is a listing and buyer specialist and an expert with Linda Craft and Team Realtors. He's been doing it for
7 years.
7 years here.
With the team.
Yeah. And what?
7 years with this team.
But, 7 years.
More than 30 years.
More than 30 years. He's been doing this. So
started when I was 12.
Yes. And so he is an expert at this thing. And he's also a townhome owner or condo?
I am a townhome owner.
Townhome owner. So let's just dig right into this here, Dwayne. What is the difference between a townhome and a condo?
Very good question, Jay, and great to be back with you
this
afternoon.
Yes, it is great.
So the difference between a townhome and a condominium. Let's start with a townhome.
Okay.
All right, so I would compare a townhome very much to a single-family detached home. All right? So all of us are familiar with a single-family detached home. You got four walls, maybe two stories, maybe a basement. You have a yard.
Right.
A townhome would be very similar to that in that you own the entire property that the townhome sits on and any yard space that surrounds that townhome. What you share is a shared wall with a neighbor. So for instance, you may have a townhome that's a single building that has five or six townhomes of similar size, similar square footage. Each one of them is going to have an adjoining wall unless you happen to be one of the two end units.
Right.
And you physically own the home itself and the land it sits on and any of the land that would be behind or in front. So a townhome is very much like owning a single family home in that you own the land on which it sits.
So the property itself you own.
Property itself you own. So a lot of people wonder that buy townhomes. It's a question that I get routinely from buyers. Should I have a survey with a townhouse? I recommend a survey almost all the time with a townhouse for a couple of reasons, especially if you're a pet owner. Let's just say you're a pet owner. A lot of people have the misconception that you can't put a fence up in a townhouse. There are some townhouse communities that would have restrictions on that, but most, especially in our area, and I would expect nationwide as well, will allow for fences. And so I encourage a survey because if you're going to be a pet owner and you want to, you know, let your animal out and not have to, you know, stand there and walk them in, that kind of thing, have a fence. So a townhouse you can actually fence in, you own the property, and you own the property on which it sits, and then you're just sharing a common wall. One of the other misconceptions I hear often, especially from some of the older townhouses that have been built, people worry about noise. People worry about sound. Am I going to hear my neighbor?
Right.
Townhouse builders have gotten very, very smart over the years.
Right.
And building codes have changed over the years. So you have a shared wall, but you also, that shared wall is a firewall. So because of building codes, it's going to be built with fireproofing. And that in itself actually cuts down on the noise that you would hear in between neighbors, something that you might have heard years ago. The other thing that townhouse builders have gotten very smart about is building outdoor space. So patios, screened-in porches, designing the exterior, the back exterior of the property in a way that gives you privacy with your neighbors, a really great feature from a townhouse standpoint.
So how long have you lived in a townhouse?
I have lived in a townhouse going a little over 2 years now. Okay. I moved in, closed on my townhouse 2 weeks before 2 weeks to slow the spread.
Oh, really?
So March of 2020. I actually have fond memories, not of the 2 weeks to slow the spread, but fond memories of having my screened-in porch available and complete, and you know, everything was shut down.
So you're in a townhouse. You were in a detached home.
I was in a detached home that I had lived in for 15 years.
Okay.
And so I was very used to, you know, single family living from that standpoint. Moved into a townhouse for a lot of different reasons.
Okay. So this is good because so before we get into that, I guess maybe we ought to talk about what a condo is, though.
Absolutely. Let's go to condo. So a condo. The word condo is short for condominium.
Right.
All right. And a condominium is a privately owned unit within a larger complex. with shared amenities. And so each individual owner is owning the individual condominium unit, and then all of the surrounding space, the common areas, whether it's elevators and hallways and outdoor space, that is commonly owned by all of the condominium owners. I would use the analogy this way. Owning a condominium is very much like owning an apartment complex, right? But it's very different from an apartment complex in the quality of construction and the quality of build. We all drive around and you can see apartment complexes that get thrown up at the speed of light.
Right.
And if you've ever lived in one of those, and I have, I've lived in more apartments than I can count over the years. And those tend to have very thin walls. You're going to hear noise.
Right.
Condominiums are much better built than that. So you're owning like an individual apartment, if you will, but you're going to have people surrounding you. You're going to have units beside you on both sides, typically a unit below you, unless you're on the bottom floor, a unit above you. So there's an entire building and you're owning the individual space within that that condominium. Mm-hmm. The way they're similar to a townhome are HOA fees. And I know we're going to get into that throughout the show, but HOA fees, both townhomes and condominiums tend to have HOA fees that cover similar amenities.
Okay.
Landscaping, lawn maintenance, swimming pool, if that amenity exists, any workout facilities, those kind of things.
Okay. All right. So let's do the big comparison.
Mm-hmm.
The big comparison is, why would someone want to live in a condo or a townhome versus a detached home? Because you've done the two, and we were just in this past week. We were down in Florida, and our friends have a condo.
Right.
Right. Very cool.
Yep.
Very, very, very cool. They got all the amenities, and it's kind of a little, its own community in of itself, right? Everybody lives in the condo. But you're surrounded by everybody, unless you live at the very top floor, unless you live at the very bottom floor, and unless you live in the corner spot, right, you're going to be surrounded by everybody. So I get that. So how do we compare condo, townhome, detached home?
Right, right. It really is about a lifestyle issue, Jay. I use myself as an example. I am in a phase of life as an empty nester.
Right.
Kids are growing. Right. Kids are doing their thing. I sell real estate all the time.
Right.
I love what I do. I work by and large 7 days a week. A lot of different crazy hours.
Real estate's like rust. It never sleeps.
I drove home last night in a driving rainstorm at 9 p.m. after a listing appointment. It was not a lot of fun driving in the rain.
Right.
But I got home, and what I didn't have was any really maintenance to do with my house.
Right.
And I get up this morning and I come to work and I don't have any maintenance. The thing that I will enjoy tomorrow morning, is my security camera will go off and I'll look to see what's going on. It'll be the landscapers blowing the leaves and the grass off of the front stoop. I don't have to do that.
Right.
I just get to sit on my screened in porch and enjoy myself. If it's the weather's permitting, I get to walk out to my swimming pool this evening and take a little quick swim. So it's really about lifestyle. I have no maintenance. I have no maintenance of the exterior.
Right.
I have amenities.
Right.
I don't have to go mow the lawn. I don't have to pay anybody to mow the lawn. That's included in the HOA dues. Same thing with condominiums. And it really is all about lifestyle. Condominiums tend to be located in closer proximity, higher trafficked areas. For instance, here in the Triangle, most of our condos would be in Raleigh proper.
Sure.
There's a couple of high-rise condos that we have in downtown Raleigh.
Right.
Those tend to attract, kind of a lower age demographic.
Sure.
Because they're wanting to live in the city.
Right.
That would be the case across, across the country. Your friends in Florida.
It was older.
They're living in Florida, right?
It was older.
They're older, that's Florida.
Yeah, because they were right around that Naples, San Marco Island area, right?
Right.
And I got to meet everybody in the community. I felt great because I was the youngest person there,
right?
Because it was an older community. So I guess it's just dependent.
It was an active adult community. That's what they like to call them now.
Is that what they call them?
Yeah.
Okay.
55 and over is what everybody used to say, but it's an active adult community.
Active adult community. See, the lingo is changing on us here, right? Because we can't say master bedroom anymore, right?
Right.
It's owner suite right? Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, let me throw another term in for you. How about courtyard living? All right. We've talked about condos and we've talked about townhomes. How about courtyard living?
Okay, you got me.
Courtyard living would be active adult, 55 plus as well. Builders have gotten really smart with the design, and it's courtyard living would be very much like a townhome.
Okay.
Maybe a hybrid between a townhome and a single family home, because what you have is you own four walls.
Okay.
All right. And then you have a courtyard that adjoins to your next door neighbor on either side, but you have privacy fence and full maintenance. You don't have to mow that courtyard. Okay. You don't have to do the landscaping on that courtyard. It's done for you.
Gotcha.
You see these popping up. We have a lot here in North Carolina, but they're nationwide, you know, state of Florida. I've got friends, I help builder or help sellers sell here. They were moving into an active adult courtyard home, Epcon builder in the state of Florida.
Really?
So yeah, it's great living. Why would people want to do it? Ease of life.
Oh,
you
sure.
Know, think about having all of your maintenance done for you.
Right.
Think about the ability to really live in a place that's like resort living.
Right.
Amenities, swimming pool, pickleball, tennis, workout facilities, even a lifestyle director. Some of these communities have lifestyle directors that set calendars. So they set the calendar for ladies' wine night or a guy's bourbon night.
Right.
Or a bingo night or those kind of activities. It's like living in a resort. And then when you do want to go away to a resort, you don't have to worry about whether your home is maintained. Your home's maintained.
Right.
You've got all the maintenance done for you. You've got the security, the peace of mind to be able to travel, flexibility of lifestyle.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of, it's kind of interesting that you said that, because when we were down in this condo community this past week, one of the things was the different things that they got going on. Like we did water aerobics,
right,
that they have for available. We did a swimming pool volleyball, right, that they had available. And then they did a 4th of July picnic there, and kind of a potluck that everybody got together. And it was really cool. It reminded me back of the old days, you know, where everybody brings a dish, right, to share, and it all goes on a big table, and the guys are out on the grill, you know, making burgers and hot dogs. And it was really cool. And I could see why people would want to be part of a condo community like that, because it's like there was something going on all the time.
Right. Absolutely. You got the lifestyle amenities. One other thing I should have mentioned as well, Jay.
Sure.
A lot of people will wonder about appreciation rates and that kind of thing. Oh. A townhome, a condo is going to have appreciation and value gain just like a single family home.
Sure.
So as you're paying that mortgage down, you're building equity in that property. Depending on where the location is, the appreciation rate is not going to be impacted by whether it's a condo or a townhome or a single family. It's really going to be impacted by the location itself.
Gotcha.
So the appreciation rate in a condo in downtown Raleigh, it's going to stay strong.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So if I want to, so we're talking about some of the pros and cons maybe. Mm-hmm. Let's do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll use myself as an example. Pros, townhome living, no maintenance.
Okay.
I don't have to do anything from a yard standpoint. Right. One of the cons, I have a higher HOA fee than people that live in my neighborhood with a single family. I live in a neighborhood of a combination of single family and townhouse. You see that pretty commonly in our area. You see that pretty commonly nationwide.
Right, right.
My HOA fees are slightly larger than the single family neighbors.
Right.
Because I'm paying for the maintenance and the exterior.
Yeah, but you're not mowing your own lawn.
My own lawn. I'm also not going to replace my own roof in, 20 years.
Right. So, and then the other thing, right? I mean, it's 100. I know people don't know this, but right now it's 100 degrees.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, outside, do you really want to be blowing your leaves and pine needles?
No, I'd really actually rather pack a cooler and head out to the pool by about 6 o'clock and, maybe order a pizza or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it is a pro, but I get it though, because the thing is that you're paying more.
Right.
You know, and I guess maybe as a con, maybe too, is that knowing that you're sharing a wall with somebody else next to you, does that kind of a con or no?
I suppose it could be for some. Where I live, they're a great builder, local builder here, Capital City Builders built mine, and it's super well constructed. I have never had any issues with my two adjoining neighbors, and I actually live in an interior unit.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not on an in unit, which is actually one of the other pros. My heating and cooling bills are much, much lower because I'm sharing those walls.
Right.
I've never had electric bill, I don't think above maybe 140, even in the height of the summer. Same thing with heat in the winter. So because I am sharing those walls, I've never had a noise complaint from, of hearing my neighbors. I've never had one from them either. And I've had millennial kids over there that are certainly creating noise issues. So yeah, it's not a con at all for me. I actually like it. You get to see your neighbors pretty frequently. You get to develop those friendships. And everybody's taking care of everybody.
I love that. Okay, so last thing. If I want the advantages of living in a townhome or a condo, but I don't want to be attached to anything, is there an option for that?
There are, actually, and that would be part of the courtyard living.
Okay.
So some of the cottage-style courtyard living, all of those have the same amenities as far as maintenance of the exterior, lawn maintenance, those kind of things, and the amenities that are certainly an option. And one last thing I'll point out, Jay, a lot of people think that a townhome has to be multi-story. They don't have to be.
Right.
You'll often see single-story townhomes that are all attached, and those are great for people who have mobility issues.
Right.
Either they've had a surgery, a knee replacement, or they've had some kind of health issue in the past. Single-family townhome living is also a possibility as well. Cottage-style, the courtyard living that I had mentioned earlier.
That's awesome. You know, this went really fast. This went so fast. So tell people how they can get a hold of you if they want questions about not just townhomes or condos, but detached homes or anything about real estate. How can they get a hold of you?
Absolutely, Jay. My email address, I joke about it all the time, Dwayner, DwayneR@LindaCraft.com. Telephone number is 919-623-3731, a phone call or a text message away.
Awesome. Thanks, Dwayne. I appreciate you, brother.
All right,
have a good one. Okay, so all right, we're getting started in here into townhomes and condominiums. Dwayne talking about actually living in them. And my next guest is Tony Fink, and he is a listing and buyer specialist with Linda Crafted Team Realtors, and he's been on with us before, so you might recognize his handsome, smiling face. as he always said, he's got a great sense of humor. By the way, there is a Fink Funny, and that comes out when?
Every Wednesday, Jay.
Every Wednesday. So on Instagram, Facebook, you can catch the Fink Funny. And by the way, they're really good. If you're into dad jokes, okay?
Who's not into dad jokes?
I don't know who's not. Listen, I love them. Matter of fact, we've gotten so good at reading your stuff that there are people now contributing to you.
There are. Jay, what did the one tomato say to the second tomato?
I don't know what it did.
Ketchup. There you go. You get a teaser.
There it is.
So that's look me up on social media.
Next Wednesday, look for the Fink Funny.
Just look up Anthony Fink on Instagram or social media. We'll take care of you.
We'll take care of you. So, all right, we're talking condos, and we're talking condos, and we're talking townhomes here. And Dwayne kind of walked us through because he's living in a townhome condo. You've done that before.
I have, Jay. As you probably recall, I've owned 13 homes.
Right.
So I've owned condos, townhomes, single-family homes, timeshares, and are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Cooperatives.
Ooh.
So we can talk about any of those you want to talk about. But Dwayne did a great job. The main benefit of communal living,
right,
a townhouse or a condominium, is lock and leave lifestyle.
Okay.
No maintenance lifestyle typically.
And that could look like a detached home, right?
It could, but with a detached home, if you go on a cruise for a month, lawn's got to be taken care of, something could be going on. Exterior maintenance, that's the lock and leave mentality. So you think of nationally, and you mentioned your friends down in Florida, right. Condos are quite common in Florida, as are cooperatives.
Right.
And the reason for that is people are over the maintenance of a single family home.
Right. Well, so, but there are communities, right? Like I think there's a community in Beaufort, North Carolina that they're detached homes, but they take care of mowing everything and the exterior type of things, right? I mean, I don't know what those communities are called. I guess, are they still lock communities?
Well, yeah, I mean, those are going to be a little bit more unique.
Right.
But I think what you're talking about is there's either going to be a homeowners association, right, or a property owners association.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when you own a detached home, a single family residence, it's less common. But actually, I live in a community close by where it is single family homes and townhomes. And the yards that face the main streets are maintained by the HOA.
Oh, there we go.
By all the homeowners.
There we go.
So I don't have to take care of my front yard or my side yard, but my backyard, which happens to be a hardscape, I take care of. So I mow that once a year.
Right. I got it. Okay. So let's speaking of HOAs, let's help people wrap their minds around a homeowners association, right? So help us understand what a homeowners association is. What's the board like? What are they responsible for?
Yeah, well, it's a great question. So when it comes to an HOA, let me walk through what a homeowners association does. And then a condo association, which is a COA,
okay,
is very similar. And then in rare instances, you also have what's called a property owners association.
All right.
But essentially, what any of those associations are is a way to share expense.
Okay. Okay.
And the expense is the expense associated with common areas, amenities. If it's a townhome and you have a townhome, you know, homeowners association, be exterior maintenance on typically the roof, the walls, may not include windows. So that's where you got to dive into the specificity for each.
Okay, so commonly we hear about what's called a homeowners association or a condo association board.
Yes.
The great board, question. The board, right?
Yes.
So people, I don't know that people have either understand what the homeowners or condo association board is. What do they do? What are they responsible for?
Yeah, great question. So if you're buying into a condominium, you're essentially buying into a business. Mm. So on a townhome or a homeowners association, which would include single family homes as well, you have a board. The board is charged and appointed, voted in typically by the residents, to administer the association rules, including protecting the interests of the association, i.e. collecting dues. What's really important to understand, though, is in new construction, the board is typically controlled by or controlled by a proxy for the developer. Mm-hmm. And the developer typically does not have to turn over the association until 75% to 95% of the units are sold. If you're buying into a resale, typically that board is in existence for a year period of time. Sometimes it's a 2-year stint, and they're voted in by your neighbors.
Okay.
Okay.
And so you weren't responsible for what that because you just walked into it.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, you don't have a say, but you have a say the next time the vote comes up.
Comes around. Okay. So some people think that maybe, and I'm throwing this out because this is in our notes, but sometimes I think people, when they think of homeowners associations, right, boards especially, they think of ogres, right?
So I think the affectionate term in South Florida is condo commandos.
Okay, so what is
or
the reality?
To quote a recent commercial, Karen. Do you have a bunch of Karens in your neighborhood?
Okay, so help us understand that. What's the reality here? Is the reality that they're overreaching, or what is the reality of homeowners boards?
Well, I'll talk first the reality, and everything is situation specific.
Right.
First, you have to understand it's a volunteer role.
Right.
And you have to appreciate that people are taking their personal time.
Sure.
I have opted not to be on any boards in any townhomes or homeowners associations or condos because I want that lack of intrusion
right.
in my life. So first, remember they're volunteering. Number two, their job and the reason for HOAs, in addition to the shared maintenance issue, is to preserve and maintain property value. So if you understand that the HOA was set up to give you the best chance to maintain property value or enjoy appreciation, then typically they're enforcing the rules. Uh-huh. Where people kind of get offended, and it's one of the things we do with buyer consults, is make sure that that additional layer of governance is not offensive to you.
Right.
So where do this come into situations? Some HOAs like mine, I have to get my paint color approved.
Right.
Now that drives some people bonkers.
Right.
But it keeps me from painting my house Pepto-Bismol pink. Right?
Right.
Some HOAs prevent storage of a boat or an RV.
Right.
In visible sight. Okay, well, if I own an RV, that's going to bother me.
Right.
But if I don't own an RV, or the RV doesn't leave ever and the tires go flat,
right,
that's going to hurt my property value.
Right.
So you have to look at it in those contexts.
Yeah, I get it. And it's not an easy job. It can't be.
It's not. And the ones that are overzealous, and again, that can happen.
Right.
I accuse my father of doing that. He's on the condo board in a property he lives in. But typically it's somebody didn't know what the rules and regulations
right.
were. And they're extensive, and they're usually very large documents, which nobody ever reads.
Right.
So that's one consideration, and usually you run afoul of that. But if it's neighborly, I've never found it to be an issue.
Okay, so let's talk about you, in particular working with a buyer and it comes to condos or townhomes. When you're working with a buyer, what kind of things do you look for the buyer?
And I'm going to make a distinction between a homeowners association, which could apply to single family homes,
right.
likely applies to townhomes.
Okay.
versus condominiums.
Okay, all right.
Okay, because there is a difference.
Right.
So when I'm talking with buyers, if they're amenable to attached living, you know, where you have neighbors attached to you, one of the things I'm going to ask them is, how are they doing the purchase? How are they financing it? And I know you have a guest later that'll talk about the financing issues.
Yeah, Paul's coming up.
So that's something we think about. Number two is, what is their intended use of the property? Okay, because there are certain uses that are not permitted.
Got it.
Heavy business use, heavy business traffic in and out of your residence,
right,
usually prohibited or discouraged by an HOA, definitely buy a condo. Next thing would be, do you intend to rent it? Would you like to be one of these nightly rental organizations? Those usually you have to understand the rules and regulations of the specific
right
association you're dealing with.
Because you may be limited on how many weeks of the year you can rent it.
Correct.
Right. Or if you can rent it at all.
Right. So I'm fortunate enough to have a vacation place in the mountains. It is a condominium, and our condominium association prohibits leases for less than a year. So you cannot do overnight rentals. Now, I'm thrilled about that,
right,
because it keeps the ownership nature. But if I had bought the property for investment purposes,
right,
with the intent of renting it, that would be a negative.
Right, because you'd want to make some money on the weekend rentals or a weekly rental at a time, but you can't. It's got to be a year.
Correct.
Okay, that's awesome. What else do you look for with buyers that you like? When a buyer comes to you and they're like looking at a condo or a townhome, and you know they're making a decision between those two or a attached home, what kind of things do you try to help them to navigate there?
Well, and part of it's going to be what's most important to them. So typically, when you think of a townhome versus a single family home, and again,
right,
I'm keeping condos out for a second.
Right.
You will get more living area typically and more value for your money,
okay,
than a single family residence because you're buying less land.
Got it.
So from a complexity standpoint. So the first thing is, how important is space? You know, have you ever lived in a communal situation? Have you ever lived in a townhome before? Does that bother you? You know, what's most important to you?
Okay. All right. Let's move. Let's talk about the construction.
Well, before we do that, let's hit condos real fast.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go back to condos.
So if you remember when I mentioned, when you buy a condo,
right.
You're actually buying space inside a unit. You have exclusive right to that.
Right.
Then you have shared ownership on a fractional basis, usually based on your percentage ownership in the total,
right,
based on the units,
right,
or the square footage of the common areas. But what you have to remember too is it's an operating business. Mm-hmm. So no two condos are the same, and the difference in the monthly dues depends on how old the building is, how the reserves were set up for the replacement of major structural items,
okay,
which most homeowners, when they buy a house, and Jay, you probably are this way, you didn't say, oh, well, in 20 years, I'm going to have to replace the roof. The roof is going to cost me $20,000 today,
right,
but inflated it'll be $30,000. So let me save 1/20th of $30,000 every year.
Right.
I don't do that. Humans don't do that. That's what a condo association is doing. That's what a homeowners association is doing. But with a condo, you have to know how well funded it is, because that'll impact your financing. And you definitely want to see if they've had a reserve study done recently, especially if you're in markets like South Florida, York, other areas. There's been some issues with high-rise condominiums,
right,
where reserves were a really important factor in some things that transpired.
Interesting. Right. Well, and we have seen something in Florida, right, recently where...
Unfortunately, there was a building collapse
on the
East Coast.
Right, on the East Coast. And the reserves, I guess the reserves may not have been... I'm not sure if the reserves covered that type of thing or not, or they didn't have enough money in reserves. I don't remember the exact story.
Yeah, so I'll share a little bit of it. And I do own part of a condominium in Florida on the coast, and it is a building built in 1963.
Ooh,
okay. So what transpired there, and this is probably one of the benefits of a board and a condo board, is, you know, unit owners can disagree on what to do.
Right.
Somebody might want to spend less money. Somebody might not care about as much money. And, you know, and they may put off repairs. I'm not saying that was a situation.
Right.
But what did transpire in South Florida, and it was in... an area of Miami. Unfortunately, the building had some structural issues due to salt water intrusion,
right,
the high moisture content, the concrete, the age of the building. And some of the issues, as I understand it, were not addressed timely. And that led to a building collapse.
Got it.
So those are, you know, those are big considerations, but we don't want to scare anybody from buying a house.
No.
You know, that was a one-time event.
Right, it was a one-time event. But it does point out, though, you know, how strong is your condo association board? Are they staying up with it? you know, I guess doing the homework, helping your buyer do some homework there into knowing about the board and what they're doing and how active they've been is probably pretty important too to your buyer.
If you're buying a condo, one of the things you should be asking is for the balance sheet and the income statement for the condo association, and if they have reserves.
Okay.
The place I own in the mountains originally was set up by the developer. It's not a large complex. It's only 12 units. And reserves were not set up appropriately. So about a year and a half ago, we had a reserve study done. Now all the unit owners are contributing, and I know it's one of your favorite questions. We're contributing our monthly assessment, but we also have self-imposed special assessments.
Right.
And part of the special assessment is to increase the reserve count so that when certain issues or certain components of a building, like a roof, like exterior paint, like driveways, are covered.
So maybe we should talk about special assessments.
Yeah, they're awesome.
So you bring up special assessments. Why do those happen, and how often do they typically happen?
And they don't happen with any degree of predictability. They can happen whenever an event is brought to the attention of the board, put to a vote of the owner. So the board doesn't necessarily impose it upon the ownership. It's voted on typically. And it's usually a situation that's brought to the attention that needs to be addressed.
Okay.
Like, hey, we had some roof damage, and we know in 2 years we got to replace the roof. We've got $20,000 in reserves, but we're going to need $25,000 to do the roof, so we'll apply $5,000 and do a one-time special assessment or an annual special assessment.
Okay. So let's go back to the one question I was going to ask on construction.
Sure.
Because we should have probably talked about it when we were talking about the tragedy that happened in South Florida, but how you have a condo that was built in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And you've lived in townhomes and condos subsequently after that, of course. You own something fairly new in the mountains. So what have you seen in terms of how construction has changed?
Yeah, the nature of construction in townhomes or in condominiums is no different than what you see happening in single family homes.
Okay.
So builders are always one from a floor plan, a layout, and an aesthetic, looking at what's most appealing to the buyer profile. Mm-hmm. And in my past life, I used to actually finance construction of condominiums. So most developers will have a target market profile of who they're trying to sell to. Like on the Naples area, you're selling to a different typical age gen than you would if you're downtown Raleigh.
Right.
What I've noticed over time is that as events happen, developers like to build high quality. They don't like to get lawsuits. Condominium developers are typically sued all the time. Doesn't mean they're sued correctly. It just means they're sued. Life safety related items. So one of the things I look for if I'm in a mid-rise or high-rise condominium, does it have fire sprinklers? Mm. Does that matter to you as a homeowner? Okay. Mm. Who takes care of windows? What type of windows? Do the windows, are they fixed? Can't open them. Or do the windows have some level of being opened?
Right.
And obviously the higher up, the less you have the ability to open windows extensively.
Right.
Balconies. I'm trying to think of it like in the context of what homeowners think about. In shared living arrangements, does my balcony stare at your balcony?
Oh, right.
And are you out on the balcony every morning smoking cigars and, you know, pumping iron?
Right.
Or do I have some privacy? So those are the things I look at. Then you get into issues. And again, we're talking about condos. Townhomes would be similar, but, you know, different factors. Is there a doorman? Is there a door person?
Right.
How do your guests get in? Parking. Parking is a major consideration for townhome buyers and condominium buyers.
Right.
Because when you throw that great party and invite me over for dinner, and there's 20 other people, where are we parking?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Big difference between a townhome and a condominium. If a townhome has parking, a lot of times it'll be garage parking, just like your home.
Right.
Condominiums, rarely do you have secured garage parking. Usually have open garage parking. Now you may have a allocated space just for you, but anybody can walk by your car.
Right. Got it. Okay. So I know there's some things that you have with you, I think, that I haven't asked. What do you have for us on condos and townhomes that I should have asked, maybe I missed, that I should have asked you?
So, one last thing on the construction. One trend I have seen, and this started probably 8-9 years ago, is in particularly with condominiums, because condominiums are oftentimes multi-story.
Okay.
What do you do when all those packages from that gray van show up? Where does all those Amazon packages go? So one of the new trends, and you'll see this in apartment complexes, but you also see it in condominium complexes, is they'll have storage areas for packages, and some have even gone to storage area cold storage if you're having your groceries delivered.
Got it.
So those are some of the things. With respect to other things to consider, you know, it's really lifestyle related. I wouldn't let a condominium scare you away, and I wouldn't let condo fees or homeowners fees or HOA fees scare you away. You just have to look into them and understand what they're doing. If I have an HOA fee and that includes my trash service,
right,
and that covers my water supply to the house, right? Well, I got to back that out.
Right.
Because as a homeowner, I'm paying for all those things.
Right.
So when I usually do the math, and everything's affordability and what you can afford to do, I usually don't find condos to be punitive unless they've got an excess reserve component in there.
Right.
And if they do, that could be a positive or a negative. It's just something to look at. They're doing that typically to make up for something or prepare for something. But I just had clients go under contract in a condominium in Briar Creek, which is an area of Raleigh near the Research Triangle. And there's 47 things on the list. 30 of them are handled by the HOA or the condo association.
Wow.
So think of how much responsibility has been offloaded from the homeowner,
right,
to the communal ownership.
Right.
Which if it was a house, I'd be liable for all that.
That's awesome. You know what? You've been awesome as always. Tell people how they can get a hold of you.
You can go to the Think Funny and get your fix for Wednesday, because Wednesday is not the same without the Think Funny. But otherwise, you can give me a call at 919-986-4146 or tony@lindacraft.com.
Yeah.
We did this last time. That's LindaCraft.com. But again, condominiums, cooperatives, which we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
I'm drawing a blank. Timeshares. If any of those are in your wheelhouse, just talk with a professional. Have them explain how it works. Don't be scared off just because.
Right.
Because it might be the ideal ownership nature for you.
That's perfect. And
Jay, thanks for having me back.
Yeah, and listen, call Tony. He can help you with all of those because he's owned all of those.
I have owned all of them. That is true.
That is true. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate it.
Thanks for watching,
team. That was Tony Fink with LindaCraft and Team Realtors. My next guest coming in right now, we've seen him before. He's been on the very first show. His name is Paul Fitz with Advantage Lending is joining us. And it's great to see you, Paul.
JSO.
Hey, how are you, man?
How you doing today?
I'm good. I'm great. Thank you.
A little upset at your hair and makeup girl outside. I'm doing the best I can. You look
as far as, listen, with what you've been through, we're very happy that you're even here.
What was the old Saturday Night Live thing? You look marvelous.
You're looking marvelous. Yeah. So we're talking about condos, townhomes.
I have been watching. I've been paying attention to two of your experts today. Yeah. They do a great job. I've actually done deals with them on condos. So, yeah.
So here's the thing. You know, you've been a lender for all sorts of homes, townhomes, condos,
trailers,
right? You've done it all. So is there a difference in financing between a condo or townhome or detached home?
Yes. Next question. Oh, you mean expound.
Could you expound on that a little bit?
Well, the truth is there's been a lot. And now I want to touch back on things that you and Tony were talking about.
Okay.
You both had brought up the condo collapse in Florida.
Right.
Which happened last year.
It was a year or two.
It was a year ago.
Oh, wow, okay.
And it has sent shockwaves through the lending world.
Right. Because you sent something out talking about this. So talk about that. Yeah.
Okay. So December-ish time frame, it became a little harrowing in the lending world as far as condos were concerned. They started getting restrictive. They changed some of the guidelines. And now if a condo project is more than 5 years old, there has to be documentation that's sent into the lender to make sure that either A, they have the proper reserves, B, it has an engineering report that goes with that to make sure the reserves are in check. There's a little more to it than it used to be. I'm not saying that lending in the condo world is over.
Right.
It's just become a little more restrictive.
Right.
Also, when it comes to lending on a condo, you're going to have a little bit higher interest rate than what you would on a normal detached house or even a townhouse.
Why?
It is just part of the lending demands in this world.
Okay.
And again, me being the guy that I am,
right?
I don't try to get every single loan that ever comes across the world. I want to help clients do the best thing for them.
Sure.
So if there's somebody living in this state and they have access to State Employees Credit Union, they don't have the same restrictions in mortgage world that we do in the normal Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae world. So that organization may be a little less stringent on loaning money on a property such as a condo.
Okay.
I bring that up because I really and truly want people to get the best financing available to them.
Sure.
And as a person who's been doing this for 2 decades and been very successful at doing it, I'm at the stage of my life where I want to be a better advisor to people. Right. And if they have access to better funds, I want them to have that access.
Okay. So is there, is there some restrictions, like when you're trying to lend money on a condo or a townhome, like, is there sometimes somebody goes, oh, I really love this place, but then you go,
here's the payment.
Yeah, I can't give you the loan.
Wow. Have I ever denied anybody from buying a condo?
Could there be something about the condo or the townhome where you would go,
If it doesn't meet the new Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae lending requirements, then they can be turned down for purchasing that condo.
Whoa. Help us understand that.
Well, I mean, if it doesn't meet requirements,
are those requirements?
Well, just like we talked about.
Oh, okay.
Are they going to meet the new 5-year statute? Were they built in the last 5 years?
Oh, okay.
Do they have the new engineering reports?
Oh, okay.
You know, do they have all of their certifications that are necessary?
Got it.
Once all of those things came down in December, January timeframe, I was sending emails out to everybody.
Right.
The truth is, if you're a listing agent out there and you're paying attention to us right now, ask the questions in advance before listing that property. Make sure it's had its certification. Make sure that it's got the money in reserves. Make sure that you're doing everything that you need to do to give all of the information up front prior to listing that property. You don't want to hamstring your seller as much as you don't want to hamstring the people who are trying to buy that property.
Okay, so let's take this situation. Let's say there's a condo unit and it's older, but let's say 70% of them are being rented.
They're not as restrictive as they used to be on rental practices.
Okay.
I mean, they still do look at how much of this unit is being rented. The best way you can view those projects are like the condos over by NC State, because the majority of those properties are purchased for a child in mind.
Right.
You're gonna send your kid there for 4 years. You buy the unit. You're like, wow, this thing is it's really doing well in value. I don't want to let it go.
Right.
I'll bring some tenants in. So that person's going to hold on to it. It's going to turn it into a rental. And a lot of people do that.
Right.
There are certain restrictions on how many rentals can be, you know, not more than 50% if you're going to use the conventional or FHA. VA doesn't care. They don't care how many rentals you have in.
Really?
Again, State Employees Credit Union, don't care.
Right.
It's just a matter of what kind of financing you're trying to do, how much money you're trying to put down. Are you trying to purchase it as an investment property? Because if you say, hey, I'm purchasing as an investment property, you're going to have less restrictions on you at that point.
Okay, so I was thinking specifically about college towns like we have here at Raleigh, you know. We do have a college here called NC State in Raleigh. And I was thinking about those condos, but I'm thinking nationwide now. You know, I'm assuming that the lending practices are pretty similar.
Everywhere.
Right, where in terms of if they're rented, if there's a certain percentage rented in that condo facility, then you may not get a loan, or you're going to have to get a different loan, or
maybe the loan that you didn't want to start with. And you know, my business is a lender. I'm a doctor.
Okay.
I diagnosed every single patient that walks in the door. The last person who walked in the door is not going to be diagnosed as the same as the next patient who walks in. Everybody has different parameters in their life. Everybody has different amount of money they can finance. Everybody has a different want, different need. And you know, to kind of further the point differently, Tony had a client earlier this year who wanted to purchase a condo. Okay. He wanted to purchase one. And when we started looking at condo properties for this client, you know, based on the money he had to put down, based on the HOAs for condos, based on everything, you know, I said, you can look at a higher purchase price and buy a townhouse. It's going to be almost the exact same parameters in your life. Why not look for townhouses versus condos? And he literally changed his scope, changed his purchase price, found a townhouse just a mile away from where he was looking at a higher purchase price point. His payment was still less on the townhouse than it was the condo based on lower interest rate, less money down, different financing. So again, it's not necessarily the type of property that we're looking for the client. It's sometimes the lifestyle as well as the monthly payment that they're looking for as well.
So this was, you just answered my question.
Sorry.
That's okay.
You want to ask it again?
No, I wouldn't ask it. I was about to go, okay, so we've been focusing on condos, but when it comes to townhomes, typically are we looking at more of an interest rate closer to what we would see as a detached home or maybe identical?
Exactly. Almost in every situation, a detached property and a townhouse, same financing.
Okay.
Exact same financing.
Does that change when could there be something in a townhome community that may alter? It's not as restrictive.
No. Townhouse, totally different market. Okay. I know it's hard to say because they're both basically attached living.
Right. Because if you're living in a center townhome unit, right? I mean, you've got a wall on a wall.
What's the difference, right?
Right.
It's the designation between condo or townhouse. I mean, if it's designated differently, it's always looked at for financing purposes differently.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a different light.
So when somebody comes to you and they go, you know, I don't know that I really want to live in an attached home. I'm thinking about a townhome or a condo. As a lender, you know, I know, of course, you know, you're looking at all the guidelines. Do you offer?
You mean I got to look at guidelines?
You do. I know you do. Do you? Because I'm sure you get this question from time to time as a lender over the course of your 20 plus year period of doing this. You know, I don't know that we want to live in an attached home because I don't want to have to be taking care of my lawn.
Sure.
So, you know, do you think that's a good idea? How do you think the market's going to do? Do you think I'm going to get money back? I mean, I'm sure they're asking you questions like that, right?
Oh,
like
God.
Appreciation.
Every single day, yeah.
I'm sure they're talking about appreciation and stuff like that. I know you can't 100% guarantee anything, but how do you handle that?
You mean the crystal ball?
How
is this house going to serve me in the
future?
Yeah,
right.
Let me use the force to answer that question. So the overall aspect, though, between detached, single family, attached townhouse, and condo, there are different rates of appreciation on these properties.
Okay.
And in a declining market, you know, a condo will depreciate faster than any other property.
Oh, okay.
Whether anybody wants to believe it in this world or not, do the numbers. The numbers don't lie.
Right.
You know, it's still not meant to discourage anybody from purchasing either.
Right.
But if they're saying, oh, the overall long-term goal is to blah, 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 you know, just buy any real estate, the overall long-term goal will be served.
Right.
But if you can view any market, I don't care if it's New York market, which is heavy with condos, or Miami market, which is heavy with condos, you know, in the last quote-unquote housing market crash, those areas were affected greater than any area with a single-family detached property. Why? I don't know. There's a psychological issue to it, I'm sure. But, you know, Warren Buffett mentality, though, at that point is buy low.
Right.
Because, they've declined. You know, time to come in here and buy.
Right.
And then wait.
Right.
Because the overall scope of real estate still for the next 100 years will still be, it will appreciate.
What do you think the biggest change in lending on condos, townhomes has been in your career? What do you think the biggest
my career?
Yeah, since the beginning that you started this 20 years ago.
I will say that the access to private equity money is just more now. If people want to go outside the scope of normal lending practices, There's more private equity money available for lending than ever. However, the interest rates on that are higher, but any type of restrictions are basically lifted. They're basically loaning money on the property itself. They don't care about the Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae guidelines that go behind it. But when you look at how VA has lessened its restrictions towards condos, or how even conventional or FHA loans have lessened their restrictions on how many investment properties need to be in a project, we're always in a pendulum market in the lending world. There have been times when the restrictions on these properties have been extremely great, and now I think because we're in a true real housing shortage, because there are so many people still looking, even though rates are higher right now. There are people that are still looking. I think that they've lessened the restrictions just a hair to try to give people better access to housing now.
One of the things I was going to ask you from a lender standpoint, it used to be that a lot of times it would be like a townhome would be somebody's first home. Right. We'd often would see.
I still own my first condo, which is my first home.
Right. We often it's the first home that you own. Has that changed? I mean, has that really changed much in terms of what you see from a lending standpoint? Are you lending more money?
Kind of loaded questions asking?
Well, I know it's a first time home buyer. It's a first time home buyer's question. And I'm like going, well, I mean, is this where people are still starting, or are they starting differently now, or are they holding on to more money? I mean, what are you seeing?
You know, the original nature of purchases would have been to say a townhouse condo, because it's a smaller end property. It's a lower price point. Most of your first time home buyers are going to navigate towards that. But after 2020, after the world of COVID that we've lived through, and because the workforce has become a predominantly data entry remote workforce now, people have moved from other areas in the country where it was expensive to live in an apartment.
Right.
So they would live in Boston and pay $4,000 a month in rent to live in Boston.
Right.
Well, that couple who was living in Boston paying $4,000 in rent for a 800 square foot apartment, they now own a 3,000 square foot house in Fuquay, Varina, which it's a mansion, and they're paying $2,400 a month in a mortgage for it. So the used to transition for a first time home buyer to go from apartment living into condo townhouse living, I think the aspect has changed now, because people realize if we are a predominant workforce now of remote workers, that they can pretty much live anywhere they want, buy the property that fits their needs. Oh, and by the way, we got 3 bedrooms and an office where I can have my Zoom calls, my backdrop.
Right,
for your Zoom calls,
right.
But they can have all that now and pay less money and still keep the same salary.
Got it.
So therefore, it's not just necessarily a natural transition to go from apartment living to townhouse condo. So,
all right. So wrapping up here.
Yeah. A lot of stuff.
So wrapping it up, what question should I have asked you about condos and townhomes when it comes to lending that I didn't ask you?
No, I'm going to be honest. Really, really happy because I was watching the show.
Right.
And I was watching what Tony and what Dwayne were adding to the show. The biggest thing that was on my mind, I had written it down prior to, was about the property in Florida that had collapsed and how the restrictions were, I don't want to say changed, but they were more enforced or more brought to the front because of that in lending world. The lending market is in my world, and I say my world, I mean any lender who works Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae lending, in our world, it may seem a little daunting for some people to say they want to work on, or they don't want to work condos because of all the restrictions and blah, blah, blah. But the truth is that we can still navigate this for buyers. We can still navigate this for people who feel like it might be, when they kind of hands off. Right. No, buy it. Buy the property. It'll be there forever for you if you want it to be a rental property too. So.
Awesome. Yeah. So tell people how they can get a hold of you.
You can get a hold of me at pfitz@advantagelending.com. That's my email. You can also call me. Cell phone, 919-612-0043. And I'm always around, always glad to help folks out. Whether I do your lending or not, I'd love to be your advisor and help you at least get pointed in the right direction.
And he does too, by the way. And Fitz is spelled F-I-T-T-S. So P.
Yeah, that's right. P-Fitz.
P-F-I-T-T-S is the email address. So make sure you took it to Paul. Paul, thank you.
No, thank you, brother.
Appreciate
as always.
Appreciate it. Yeah. Folks, that's the show. You know what we say? It's real estate. Right now, these are real estate matters that matter to you. We are so glad that you joined us. We know that you have tons of other options that you could have, but you chose us, and we are really grateful. So you know what? As you're listening to the show, do us a favor, right? Not only tell your friends, but also give us a recommendation or give us just a five-star review. Share. Yeah, we love sharing is caring, and we believe that here on Real Estate Right Now. So listen, until next week, you know what we say. Ciao, everybody. Thank you. We're grateful for you.
Bye. Every day.